Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, and in this special episode, we will be talking about the Week 6 waiver wire. Unfortunately, we do not have my good friend and regular co-host, Mr. Tyler O., but filling in for him this week is Nate Paulvoet from Optimus Fantasy. How are you doing today?
Anytime I get to hang out with Herms, it's a good day. Anytime I get to talk fantasy football, it's a good day. I am excited to be here on the FTN Network, roll through some Week 6 waiver wire claims. It's a pivotal week in fantasy football. A lot of teams are on the cusp here, Herms. They're trying to decide if they're contenders, pretenders, what they're going to do with their season. So these waiver claims could make or break some seasons. So I'm excited to talk about them.
And I think that that's a really big part of the reason why I decided to structure the podcast this way this week. So listeners, just to give you a quick preview of what's going to be happening, not just for this episode, but moving forward, because Tyler's going to be out next week as well. I figured the best thing that we can possibly do is dedicate a specific show just to doing the waiver wire claims. And then I do my weekly usage report that comes out every Wednesday on ftnfantasy.com. I'm going to be doing a solo show, just recapping all that stuff and giving a little bit more actionable advice instead of the typical recap show that we do. Now, we will move into our first position of quarterback. Nate, I'll be honest with you, it is not a good time to need a fantasy quarterback. If you don't have a good one, it's suboptimal. But there are a few options. I'm going to give my top three, and then you can give your list of targets. The name at the top of my list is Matthew Stafford, 52.3% rostered on ESPN, 63% on Yahoo. He's probably taken in your league just on the percentage basis, but if he's out there, I think it makes a lot of sense to look his way. Currently, he is the QB6 overall in fantasy points. He has these two amazing targets in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams to throw to every week. Then my next name, Sam Darnold, Seattle Seahawks. I know that's one you want to talk about, so I'll leave that up to you. But then I have a fun fact for listeners. Here's something that I want everybody to know. Through the first 5 weeks of the NFL season, there have only been 15 quarterbacks to rush for over 100 yards. One of them is rookie quarterback Jackson Dart from the New York Giants. And he's only started two games. I know things are difficult right now with this offense. Malik Nabers tearing his ACL isn't great. The offensive line still has a lot of problems. Who knows what things are going to be able to look like on a week-to-week basis. But the one thing we do know is that Jackson Dart is going to run. He's been using his legs, and it's translating to fantasy points. Regardless of these upcoming matchups, he's got two games against the Philadelphia Eagles, another one against the Denver Broncos sandwiched in between. It's going to be a tough pull for the, you know, all of them. But as long as he runs, I don't really care. So those are my names for quarterback. Any thoughts on those? And do you have any additional targets that people should be looking out for?
So I want to start with Matthew Stafford. He is playing at an elite level right now. And I know he's older. I think people are maybe scared off by age. And then coming into the season, we had that worry about the back injury. We were kind of unsure if he was even going to start the season. But what he has really done is pretty incredible. We've got two straight games of 30-plus points out of Matthew Stafford. He's someone that you need to get. In Sleeper right now, he's rostered 60%. If he's available in your league, you need to grab Matthew Stafford. Second one, Sam Darnold. We both had him on our list, and I love this. Again, this is a guy who I think people are sleeping on because of previous history, but what we've seen out of him this season, week one was bad against San Francisco. He had 5.4 fantasy points, atrocious. But since then, Herms, he has been QB9. He's playing very, very well. He has only dipped below 20 fantasy points once. That was week four against Arizona, but they didn't need him to be fantastic in that game, and it was fine. Against Tampa Bay in a shootout where they needed him to be good, and despite still losing, he played very well. 28 of 34, 341 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He did throw the one badly timed pick. We can hold that against him all we want, but for fantasy purposes moving forward in the Seattle offense, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is like a cheat code for him. He's an elite wide receiver one, and I think that we need to accept that. Conversation for a different show, different format, but it propels Sam Darnold, and I want him. Now, this one's a little bit of a flyer. This is for two QB leagues and Superflex, but I like Spencer Rattler, man. He hasn't been exceptional. He had that 26-point game against San Francisco. How that happened, I'm not sure. I don't know how he threw three touchdowns against San Francisco, but he's been okay. I mean, you know you're going to get double-digit points out of him. And if you're dealing with quarterbacks like Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Bryce Young is someone maybe you believed in. CJ Stroud has even been questionable at this point. Rattler's not a bad insurance piece to add if you have a deeper roster, and he's QB 20 right now, so he is definitely startable in two QB and super flex formats.
Next, we will get into our running back section, and I believe this week is headlined Michael Carter out there with the Arizona Cardinals. We did not know what this backfield was going to look like necessarily once James Conner got hurt. All we knew is that Trey Benson was probably going to be the dude. But then Trey Benson goes out there and gets hurt, and it becomes even more confusing. Is it going to be Amari DiMercato? Is it going to be? I don't know, but it turns out it's Michael Carter. Ended up with over 20 touches in the game, even found the end zone. Then I want to just briefly touch on Kendre Miller. It is a bit of a split backfield there in New Orleans, but Kendre Miller has been the leading rusher on the Saints in each of the past 2 weeks. It's pretty cool. It's something that I think is probably only going to be really able to give you like bye-week filler or maybe injury fill-in type production. But hey, that's better than nothing. And that's the kind of stuff that we need as we head into this part of the season. So I do think that there is some value to be extracted there. And then the last names that I want to highlight before we get, you know, even deeper into this, because we have a lot of running backs to talk about. Either one of Hassan Haskins or Kamani Vidal from the Los Angeles Chargers, because unfortunately, Amarian Hampson is going to miss extended time due to the ankle injury that he suffered this past weekend. I guess we're kind of burying the lead a little bit. You know, that was one of the bigger pieces of the news that happened. And dissecting this backfield is going to be a really huge deal. But I left it a little bit ambiguous there because I honestly don't really have a preference between the two. I don't have a good lean either way because the Chargers are so far down their depth chart at running back now. Before you get into some of your names that you have, do you have a perspective as to which Chargers running back people should be targeting, either Hassan Haskins or Kamani Vidal?
I would prefer to not target either, Herbs. I mean, if we can avoid it, obviously that would be ideal. If you have to target one of them, the majority of leagues obviously are at minimum half PPR. It would be Kamani Vidal for me. He has that receiving upside that I just don't think Hassan Haskins has. Given what we know about Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, like we want to assume that they're going to be a rush heavy offense, but we've seen them pivot this year with Justin Herbert and they've become a far more pass heavy offense. I think they're going to continue that trend. Kamani Vidal is the more receiving forward running back. I think he's the guy over Hassan Haskins.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. It's far more within his skill set. Now that we parsed through the Chargers backfield, why don't we get into some of the names that you would like to highlight?
Well, I want to first touch on Michael Carter. I think it's interesting. We talked about it all week leading up to this weekend, that he's the guy who had the experience as an RB1. He had been one previously, his rookie season in New York. I think he averaged north of 4 yards per carry. So there was an idea that he could be that guy. And DiMercato really put the exclamation point on that with the dumb celebration coming across the goal line and losing the ball. He's in the Caleb Johnson doghouse. And that's really why I wanted to talk about Michael Carter. I needed to throw out that Caleb Johnson doghouse. I had it banked since we started talking about it. but now I want to go on to Kendre Miller because I think this is interesting. What we've seen in New Orleans is an evening of snap shares between these two running backs. And we kind of touched on it earlier, but it really has gotten to a point where Kendre Miller had 10 carries versus 8 for Alvin Kamara last week. He didn't see, obviously, the passing work. He's seen a handful of targets. I think Kendre Miller is someone to really pay heavy attention to. If you can get him, stash him and see what happens, because they're trending to even right now. And if this really does become a full split backfield, I think we see Kendre Miller take the lion's share of the carries, which is valuable in an offense. This still is a team that wants to run the ball more than they throw. And if Kendre Miller becomes the guy who's running the ball and they can rely on him, there's a lot of value there as we come into like the meat of the fantasy season. Outside of that, really, I like Breshard Smith a lot, Kansas City. What we saw tonight wasn't exactly what I was hoping to see. I wanted to see a little bit more usage. We saw him involved. And I think that involvement gets more and more, but I need to see more. He's definitely a bench stash for me. Someone you grab, you have room to hold on to him. You can sit on him for a couple weeks and see what happens with him. But I am excited to see what does happen with him, because this Kansas City team needs to be able to run the ball. They lost to Jacksonville tonight, Herms. To Jacksonville.
It's so bad. And you know, it's something that Tyler and I talk about on the show a lot. And maybe people are sick of hearing us talk about it. But hey, listeners, there's another person telling you Breshard Smith has to happen eventually. This whole Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, both doing absolutely nothing thing has to stop at some point, unless the Chiefs just decide to fully give up or whatever. So there you go. More validation. Just had to echo those sentiments.
Here's what it comes down to. Do you want Patrick Mahomes to be your leading rusher over an entire season? Absolutely not.
No, because they're
2-3 now. They're going to be 2-15 if Patrick Mahomes is their leading rusher. You can't win games that way. And I know they get Rashee Rice back in week 8. That's going to be really good for this offense. It's going to bolster them, but they still have to be able to run the ball. So I think Breshard Smith will become important at some point. It's if you can manage and can afford to stash him for a little bit. And then Tyler Allgeier, I think he's worth a look. He's at least semi-consistently splitting carries with Bijan. I think he's worth a look at the very least.
So those sort of handcuffs that have that standalone value and even higher contingent upside are very important players to consider. And before we close out the section, there are a few more players that I do want to recommend to people. Isaiah Davis, now that Braylon Allen is out of commission, will probably be out for the next few months. He is the guy directly behind Breece Hall. He didn't get a ton of work this past weekend, but look, we see how much work Breece Hall gets on a weekly basis. The role that he would step into would be pretty massive. I think similar things are very true of Kenneth Gainwell, who is still rostered in fewer than 50% of both ESPN and Yahoo leagues. We literally saw him do it right before the Steelers went on their bye week. It was a pretty fun performance. He's also had at least a few weeks of being decent on his own. And then I keep advocating for this. It hasn't quite come true yet, but Jaden Blue has finally gotten onto the field. He missed a lot of camp with his injury. That's why he started the year inactive, healthy scratch, blah, 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 whole thing. Miles Sanders missed this past weekend with injuries of his own. We have no idea how healthy he's going to be. Even if Dallas doesn't carve out a role and take away from Javonte Williams, at least Jaden Blue has elevated to a point where he could maybe see the field a little bit more, kind of like Breshard Smith, but like to a significantly lesser degree. Just a guy, fun pass catching skill sets that would be good for his offense, and maybe it happens. And you know, hey, if you're looking at your league and you're trying to find these guys and you're thinking to yourself, man, none of these players are out there. I need more names. I need more deeper options. I need more fab recommendations. So that way I know exactly how to manage my upcoming waiver claims. Well, the waiver wire tool at ftnfantasy.com does literally all of those things I mentioned and more. So every single week, if you need to check in and get that kind of advice, go to ftnfantasy.com, check out our waiver wire tool, and also our waiver wire column that comes out. Now, we have to take a commercial break. We've talked plenty about the quarterbacks and the running backs, but when we come back, we will dig into some wide receiver and tight end talk before getting out of here. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, y'all, what's good? It's your boy Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. I got something pretty cool I want to tell you about, so listen up. Our partners at DraftKings Pick 6 have a deal you don't want to miss. New DraftKings customers, this one's for you. When you play $5 or more on your first paid Pick 6 entry, you'll get $50 in bonus picks instantly. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in bonus picks to keep building your slips, take a shot at big payouts. All you got to do? Just use promo code FTN to sign up and start playing. If you've been thinking about trying Pick 6, now's the time to get in. Use code FTN to sign up, and all new DraftKings customers can play $5 and get $50 in bonus picks instantly. Let's build some slips. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. Pick6.draftkings.com/promos. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Ends October 3rd, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, still fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am still Herm, still with my special guest, Nate Paulvogt, and we are still talking about the Week 6 waiver wire. We're moving on into the wide receiver position. Before I get into any of the specific names or anything, listeners, I just want to tell you up front, I'm not very enthusiastic about receivers on the waiver wire this week. Here are the names that I do think are kind of interesting, if nothing else. Dallas Cowboys wideout Ryan Flournoy exploded in usage, ended up with 9 targets against the Jets. Very cool dude. We don't know exactly how long CeeDee Lamb is going to be out per se, but we do know it's going to be for a little while. And as long as that remains to be true, Flournoy has potential to keep this fun role in this offense. I also want to remind people that even though they just had their bye week, Green Bay Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs did have a pretty good game last time that we saw them. And he does get pretty consistent looks in this Green Bay offense. And then I will say, you know, look, he hasn't really turned it into production yet. It's kind of frustrating. It's frustrating for everybody who plays for the Cleveland Browns, but Isaiah Bond, the rookie wide receiver, has seen 17 targets over the last 3 games. At least he's getting the volume. Maybe it comes to fruition a little bit later. Maybe as Dylan Gabriel continues to get acclimated, it could improve, but that's basically it. It's a speculative thing. It's basically kind of the attitude that we've given to Elik Iomanner on this show, where as long as the underlying stuff is true, you could at least have a bench spot for him, if nothing else. So, Nate, those are my guys. If you got any thoughts on those, definitely expand. But if you have more names, also feel free to share some of those.
Well, I want to start with Ryan Flournoy, because this has been a fairly interesting breakout and a little personal for you and I, going back to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Poor guy, no one was really talking to him on one of the interview days, and we had watched him and been impressed with his footwork. He had won some routes in some difficult coverage. We went over and we talked to him, and it wasn't football related. It was just like niceties and stuff, but he was a really nice guy. And seeing his name pop up last week was cool.
Yeah.
My question is, though, with Flournoy, can it continue? I think that there's a chance it can. We've got Carolina, Washington, Denver, Arizona coming up before the bye. There's one tough matchup defensively in there for Dallas. This is a team that wants to throw the ball. Dak Prescott has been illustrious this season. Oh, yeah. He's had a phenomenal season. I think Flournoy is a guy they can plug in now behind George Pickens, who they don't want to overwork, and they've talked about not wanting to overwork him in Lamb's absence. Flournoy could be that other piece. He's reliable. Dak Prescott trusted him with 9 targets, 57% snap share. I think this could be a thing moving forward with Flournoy.
Well, not only that, but, you know, this is a perfect example of one of those players where, you know, people like to complain, well, not in my league. This guy's not available in my league. Yeah, well, Ryan Flournoy is available in basically every single league. According to Yahoo, 0% rostered on ESPN. His rostership is, it's not zero, but it's a fraction of zero. It's still less than 1%. So that is, I think, kind of the fun thing that I will say in this sort of circumstance where, again, to reiterate, wide receivers aren't super abundant, but at least the one we are excited about is definitely out there.
So, and speaking of not super abundant, Josh Downs is one we talked about before we came on air, who's interesting. In the absence of Alec Pierce, he starts to see volume, right? But will that continue? It's very speculative. Again, this is a guy who I'm willing to add if he's not rostered in your league. If you have an open roster spot, check it out. See what happens over the next couple of weeks. But this Indy offense is much better than we thought it would be. And I do think there might be a place for Josh Downs there.
I definitely agree with you, although I'm still holding out hope for the Alec Pierce thing, but I haven't put together my full investigation for the weekly usage report. Be on the lookout for it in the next edition, dropping on Wednesday, and then Thursday I will have a solo podcast episode where I break down all of my findings for you by myself. So just, you know, hey, fun teaser. Yeah, a little foreshadowing. I think that's what they call that in the biz. So, unless you have any more wide receivers to talk about, we can move over to tight ends. Does that sound good to you?
Let's go.
Let's do the thing. We will start first by talking about a player who, speaking of the usage report, It was the last thing I talked about. I made a fancy chart and everything, and I showed everybody, hey, New York Jets rookie Mason Taylor is starting to get more looks. They're starting to get him a little bit more involved with some routes. And there's nobody else on the Jets that gets thrown to outside of Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. It is such a consolidated target share on this roster. If you didn't grab Mason Taylor already on my advice, this is your last chance. But fortunately, only 8.2% rostered on ESPN, 13% on Yahoo. You got a decent chance at it. But again, this is probably the last one because I think everybody's kind of aware of it. Cat's out of the bag. You can never put a genie back in the bottle. And then the only other name that I was going to say Brenton Strange. He left the Monday night game with a hip injury. We're going to have to see how that works out. I'm not going to advocate too hard for an injured player, but you know, just follow that if nothing else. Dalton Schultz, he's quietly putting together receiving at least 5 or 6 targets a game every single week. It's not turning into a ton of points, but it's pretty safe. It's a nice floor play. If you have a guy that's hurt, if you get into a bye week situation, I really think Dalton Schultz can do a lot of different things for you. Those are my tight ends. Do you have anything to say about those guys? And who are the other names that you think people should be looking into?
I love that you mentioned Dalton Schultz. We're going to start there. He is a valuable piece in this Houston offense. We haven't seen a ton of scoring from him this season. Doesn't have a touchdown, but he'll get there. But he's 21 catches on 27 targets. He's got 186 yards. It's nothing to shake a stick at. And there will be those weeks, which they've got Seattle after the bye, which is a great week for tight ends. I think he's someone you should go after. And Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's kid.
Ayo.
You'll love to see it. But I mean, seriously, 23 targets the last 3 games. That's beautiful usage. I'm sorry, 25 targets. He's catching most of his targets. 9 catches on 12 last week, 67 yards, 17 fantasy points. This is a guy who's trending up in an offense where we've seen that Justin Fields likes to check down to tight ends.
Yeah.
He's going to do it on a high volume to Mason Taylor. I love that call, Herms. The only one I want to mention is Cade Otton over in Tampa Bay.
Hey.
I have a little bit of a love affair with Cade, but so does Baker Mayfield. And as his team heats up and they continue to win games and they get deeper and deeper into the season, we've seen Otton start to get targeted heavier. We're dealing with a Chris Godwin who isn't 100% healthy, coming off of an injury. They're working him back in slowly. Mike Evans dealing with another hamstring injury. We're seeing Emeka Egbuka get hyper-targeted and become a favorite target. But Cade Otton got a lot of targets last week, and he was a very, very, very centerpiece of that offense when it came down to it in the absence of Bucky Irving as well. That continues. Cade Otton's going to lock himself into this offense, and he's a guy who I think is definitely worth a roster spot if you're looking for a tight end.
This is a guy that has had a connection with his quarterback for a good while and has been a usable fantasy tight end in the past. They've got a good relationship. I totally support it. Just like we have a good relationship between the two of us, Nate. It is the Nate and Herms version of the Crossing Routes podcast coming to a close. Now, before we head out of here and plug all the pluggables, Nate, is there anything that you want to tell people before you get out of here? Where can they find you? How can they support you? What are you up to?
First of all, head over to OptimusFantasy.com. We've got content coming out all week. Great stuff. And check us out at tools.optimusfantasy.com. You can also find us on YouTube at Optimus Fantasy Football. Then find me on socials at Nate Paulvoet everywhere.
Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, listeners, so much for following along this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. Go to FTNFantasy.com for all the cool stuff that we do, including my weekly usage report that comes out every single Wednesday. And next time we talk, it will be me going over all of that stuff. Adios.